It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
All right, welcome into the show today. Yeah, Mitch and Polly with you for the next 3 hours, and we have so much to get into. David Thorpe's going to join the program. We'll talk NBA with him coming up in an hour. Gambling Lou Finocchiaro, 2 segments with him today on the UFC fight card, who he likes to bet on, who he has bet on already, and who he's on this point coming up. That's in about 90 minutes. Jeff Davis, Caesars Properties here in Las Vegas and beyond. He'll explain where they're at right now with paying out the yes-no playoff props in the NHL. And grading division winners, and a little bit more on that sport with Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Paulie, yesterday, first of all, tip of the cap to you. Nice call. You had Dusseldorf, right? And they got the job done 2-1. And then how about, I went back and rewatched the clip last night and retweeted it back out because we, like Bruce did like rapid fire yesterday when you were asking him specifically about that match. Yeah. And then he said, I'm not betting Schalke. No, I don't want anything to do with them. So Dusseldorf would be the right side. And then he got into 3 totals, and they all came in. There was 1 over and 2 games to an under. And the one game that he liked under was get out the old nil-nil detector. So within a span of 2 minutes, he went 4-0 yesterday.
Yep. Great job by Brucey. Excellent. Got to get him on more. And Schalke now 9 losses and a draw in their last 10 matches. Is 2 quick ones by Dusseldorf in the 60th minute, and they hang on. Couple road teams actually won for a change. I think Hoffenheim was a good size. Were they? No, actually they weren't. It was the other one. Leipzig with the draw. But again, good action. Great call by Bruce. Maybe we have an under team with that Paderborn, who I think it's pronounced, they're at the bottom of the table. They played 1-0 and a couple nil-nils and a 1-0. So great job by Brucey. And you know, listen, how dare. I'll tell you right now, how dare they put up a 2.5 in a Frankfurt game on Saturday? Right back on the train. Let's make it 4 in a row. I mean, 2.5 in a Frankfurt game. It's at DraftKings, my over minus 150. They've conceded 19 goals in their last 6 games. Since they came back with the restart, they've allowed 3, 5, and 3 goals. And they put up a 2.5? The opponent might get that themselves. They're playing Wolfsburg, who looked terrific in their last timeout. Frankfurt over Saturday again, over 2.5. Let's go for 4 in a row.
Yeah, Wolfsburg, you're right. They had 4 in that match, and they were a big dog in that game. And they came out on top by a score of 4-1. And then we saw this tweet, what the EPL could actually look like on television on their proposed return. Now, this would be great, right? Elliot Hackney had this on Saturdays. And now this is over in London their time. But this is what they're looking at, like in terms of games on television. They don't screw around in soccer. Like, they really get it. Saturday, a game at noon, then at 2, 4, 6, and 8. Repeat the thing on Sunday again, same as exact times, and then play 2 evening games on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yep. They got, 9 matches left to each club. Let's get it going. Do it. Let's. And the people with serious sweat, if they have Liverpool to win the Premier League, just get that, just finish that thing, because they got their 25 points. And who knows? All you got to do is, even if there's a breakout again, another wave, just get a couple matches in, they'll clinch by then, because they're so far ahead of City. So fingers crossed, everyone holds those future tickets on Liverpool as well. Looking forward to our update to our hockey guests coming on, and it's going to be a good mix where you get the bookmaker about what they do now. Because everyone wants to know, how are they deciding division winners with the NHL? The bookmaker who's freaking out, and then the guy who actually covers the league. And Nick Bogdanovich told me yesterday they've emailed the NHL. And Joe Asher's a big-time player, the CEO at William Hill. They have emailed the league about, are you recognizing division winners? And more emails and tweets came in yesterday after we got off the air that a lot of places on the East Coast are saying, we'll grade the winners and refund the losers. And that's great customer service, especially if it's not a large ticket.
Sure. I got a lot of tweets on FanDuel, pretty much paying out the winners and refunding what would have been the losers. FoxBet did this. NHL, no losers. They're paying out for division winner, to finish second in the division, to finish third overall. Top goal scorer. That was a big question to me yesterday. And quite frankly, again, I'm not going to know the answers to this because the sports books, a lot of them don't have answers yet. But they paid out top goal scorer, top point scorer, and then team to make the playoff on the yes-no prop. They're paying out all 24 teams. But as we discussed yesterday, you know, that's they're doing that for a promotion purpose. And, you know, welcome into the show today. It's Follow the Money here on Veasan and Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard as we begin here talking a little NHL and what sports books are going to do. you know, they want that pub, they're going to get it from something like this. And but good for them. And if you bet there, you know what? It's you're going to be happy about this, no question. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter that they hit the lottery because they everything was a winner for them. And bets that were a loser, it was all a refund.
I saw one tweet. A guy had a $500 bet on the Bruins, and it was graded a winner. So good for him. Another guy said he has a Pasternak ticket, which I don't know why games played would be put. The Westgate did that, too. I don't know why you would put that stipulation on that type of prop, most goals or most points and that type of thing. So the guy's wondering about getting paid on Pasternak. I would pay that. I mean, that's if you had top goal scorer. I mean, I don't know why there'd be a stipulation with games played on something like that. To me, that's ridiculous. But actually, there's a lot going on, too. And you mentioned hockey and their great format. And we put this poll up when we got off the air, and I want everyone to vote at VSiN Live. In your opinion, will the NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball start before the end of July? I voted no, and I'm part of the 28%. Yeah, you see 71% leading the way. I mean, the Major League Baseball, more bad news, Mitch. Out of the big three that are still left, and now we're supposed to get at least a big meeting, and then what they want to do on Friday with the NBA, NHL at least has a game plan. I don't think basketball is going to start till August, and that might be the case with hockey too. I mean, it just I would say yes would be a small favorite, but I still say we don't have sports until August.
Okay, so it's looking, you know, more bleak by the day for the NBA to start by the end of July. Major League Baseball, Paul, I don't know if we're going to get this at all in 2020. With Major League Baseball. And I guess if NHL, if this play, again, it was only a plan. People got overly excited with Bettman's press conference the other day when they said, hockey's back, baby. Come on. Can't wait to watch these games. Well, we don't have games scheduled exactly right now. I mean, this was a plan and hopefully it'll come to fruition, but if they could actually get the teams in the cities by the date that they wanted to by July, I would say, yeah, I think we'll probably get games by, you know, sometime in that month. But with baseball, what we saw happening last night and the NBA still dragging their feet with no plan in place right now. And again, next Monday is June 1st. I definitely have my reservations about those two sports.
Well, the NHL isn't going to name the two hub cities for 3 to 4 weeks. And I guess we can cross Minneapolis, St. Paul off the list as well, too, with what happened there last night. But yeah, more bad news for Major League Baseball. I make them a dog to play. I mean, you just the NBA and the NHL. Great relationship, ongoing dialogue. Everyone's been friendly. Anything but Major League Baseball. And number one, they're ticked off because the owners are going public with stuff. And they're saying, hey, here's our losses. But they won't talk about all the gains that they have and all their profits. And now Scherzer took to Twitter. You know, the Blake Snell thing on social media. They don't get along to begin with. And again, this is going to be worse than 94. Now that they're saying Jeff Passan, the MLBPA expects to counter the economic proposal by the end of this week with a plan that includes more than 100 games and a guarantee of full salaries, prorated salaries for the season. They're not even going to even look at this, what the owners sent over. There's no reason even to respond is what they're saying with this pay reduction, the second pay cut.
Well, and then for those of you who may have missed it, we just put it up on the screen, but I'll read it right now because it did come down, you know, kind of late last night with Max Scherzer. He tweeted out, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information that the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. So we know where they stand. And like you said, they want more games because they want to go back and get their full prorated salaries that they agreed to.
In late March. Right. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, just good luck moving forward. And I thought Mike Palm was spot on yesterday when he said, and he loves Major League Baseball. When he said, if they don't play at all this year because of money, think about what the harm that they're going to do to their own sport in the short term and long term. He said it's going to be number four at best in the four major sports. Now, he also loves hockey, and he made a case for hockey to actually leapfrog Major League Baseball. That might take a lot, but this could do it. I mean, if they sit out because it's an ongoing kind of in the public eye money situation that they're, you know, squabbling over, it's a horrible look, Paul. Horrible look.
Yep. And this could be this past couple of days could be huge. You can't dismiss that hockey could really get a bump here and overtake baseball, because it's not with the America's favorite pastime. It hasn't been that way for 30 years. Look at the ratings. It's become a regional sport. If the Cubs, Yankees, or Red Sox aren't in the playoffs, the ratings are in the toilet. World Series, NLCS, ALCS, and it's been that way for a long, long time. I mean, the days of the Twins and Braves in the 91 World Series when it got a huge rating are long, long gone, okay? It wasn't one of the power teams with a big following or a drought. People weren't tuning in. So great job by Bettman earlier in the week, and see if the NHL can get this going, because we want sports in the worst way. And you're right. Yep. It will be worse than 94, and people are just going to give up. Not to mention the young demographic doesn't care about baseball at all. They don't care about it. They don't have give it to me right now. Give it to me fast. And this is guys stepping out of the box, looking for a sign on 3-0 and throwing over the first 50 times. It's too slow. It's not cool. It's not hip.
Well, and again, and I'll throw this on it to make it kind of a correlated parlay here, because they're going to kill themselves anyway by doing this if they don't play. And then add on top of that, if basketball realizes that, hey, we had this maybe idea of starting on Christmas Day or maybe a little bit later and playing into the summertime.
Oh, yes.
If they do that, okay. Good luck then recovering Major League Baseball, because you're going to have no chance going against the NBA playoffs.
Nope. And that will be the conference finals and the NBA finals when you get into June or July, probably. Yes. In July, yeah. Forget about it. Everyone, watch the All-Star game. No one will care. They'll be watching the Lakers and LeBron or whoever it may be. So that's the one positive with this, that the NBA can start their season on Christmas and they can own June and July as well. And producer Kelly found this globally about what's the sport to come back next. Look at this. If there were ever a time to lay $4, what sport will play a regular season game first? MLS is minus $4. MLB is the second choice. Oh my God. That is absolute lunacy. Now, MLS, they want these guys to stay in their home cities until June 21st. It's conceivable that they'll be in Orlando, where they're going to have this group stage tournament. They could be there by early July or even maybe late June, but certainly in July, they're going to be in Orlando, and they could be ready to, who knows? They could be ready to rock and roll by early July if everything breaks right for MLS. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because the plan is, as you said, they're going to remain in their host cities until June 21st. Then they're going to take off for Orlando. I mean, if they're ready to go, they could, you know, conceivably have games going on July 4th on the 4th of July to get everybody, give something, you know, to people on that day, at least some sports to watch. And how it's only $4 right now when you come out and see their game plan. That's like Mayweather McGregor, the way it seems as of right now. Again, something could happen here and this is all fluid, but right now that should be the absolute prohibitive favorite for games to return first.
Yep. At VSiN Live again, the poll, in your opinion, will the NBA, NHL, or MLB start before the end of July?
Wouldn't you have NHL? I would have NHL shorter odds than the NBA.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, because the NBA now, we're here. I mean, you're hearing from several people. It could be August.
Yep.
And at least the NHL has a plan. The NBA still doesn't know that everyone's got a plan, but they haven't agreed on anything like the NHL. And the latest on the NBA, Mark Stein, New York Times, that he's hearing it's going to be his prediction along with what he's hearing. It's going to be 20 teams that are going to Orlando. So I hope common sense will prevail here. You know, go back and looking at it, the group stage wouldn't be that bad. That I took another look at that. But that's down the list of my list. Here's the Stein tweet. The NBA invites 20 teams to Orlando. 30 is too many to host comfortably. Yep. 16 is fair if all 30 can't be invited. But 20 is the easiest compromise. Top 8 in each conference and the West. 9-12. Okay. Because in the East, it's just, again, this has been going on for 20 years. And it was going on when David Stern was the commissioner. Again, two teams are going to make the playoffs in the East under 500. It happens almost every year. Why would you invite the Wizards to some kind of play-in game when they're 16 games under 500? Why would you invite the Hornets to some type of play-in tournament when they're 19 games under 500? You played 65 games. Enough. You stink. You don't belong. Now, the other thing...
Here's what I don't want to happen, because if this actually takes place and Mark Stein's right with his prediction, if we get the West and teams 9 through 12, I better not hear one person from a team 9 through 12 in the Eastern Conference complain and say, that's not fair to us. Too bad, folks. Life isn't fair. We're all dealing with a stupid pandemic we never would have predicted, okay? So deal with it, okay? And by the way, as Paulie said, get better. Get better. You've had a long time, and you still suck. The Western Conference has been better now. You watch The Last Dance. Since Michael Jordan retired, the Western Conference has been better. You've had a long – it's like the AFC East. Get better. It finally took Tom Brady to go somewhere else for these teams to actually have a chance.
And they would invite Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio with those 20 teams, those four other teams in the West. Memphis has a four-game lead in the loss column over Portland for the eighth seed. And I'll tell you, if there was ever a time – and I want to see what David Thorpe thinks, because now's the time to be creative and mix some things up. Because the East is so bad, and it's been that way for so long, now's the time to seed 1 through 16. And that's what here's what that this would look like. And I love this. And again, Brian Windhorst speculated, hey, the 2-15 matchup would be Lakers-Nets. Maybe Kyrie and Durant say, hey, we'll come back. But I like how the 1 through 16 would work. And this is from this is ESPN on Instagram, how it would look. The Bucks would be the one. They play the Magic, the 16. The 8-9 would be the Heat and Thunder. Boston, Philly would be tremendous. That's the 5-12. Clippers, Dallas, the 4-13. Lakers, Nets, as I mentioned. Utah, Houston, the 7-10. Denver, Indiana, the 6-11. And the Toronto, Memphis, 3-14 matchup. If they seed 1 through 16, I think that's the way to go.
Well, and I can tell you this right now. Laker fans or Laker bettors, if you still have open tickets to win the NBA championship, you better hope this actually takes place, because they're getting – look at this. Where is the resistance coming from on their side of the bracket? The maybe the Rockets in round two, because I think they would handle the Jazz. The bottom four teams, none of them. It would be if it was a seven-game series, the Lakers would finish the Nuggets, Pacers, Raptors, or Grizzlies in five. But the Bucks would have to go through either the Heat. I think they would take care of the Thunder, no problem. But they've struggled with the Heat. They could get the Heat in the second round, and then the win. They might have to go through the Clippers. Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah. The Bucks don't want this at all.
Yeah. This is actually – and if they stick with the East and West, it's actually – this works out for the Clippers, too. Because if the Lakers were going to play the Clippers in the playoffs, the whole series would have been a Laker home game. I mean, it would have been 80-85% Laker fans when they were playing, and then the supposedly Clippers at the home game, too. I mean, you saw that in the last time they played. It's all Laker fans. So if that was to go to the NBA Finals and it was Lakers Clippers at Staples, forget about it. I mean, it's very difficult to find a Clipper fan. But excellent point on how that bracket would shake out for the Lakers, and it'd be an easy time of it. The group stage not getting a lot of support based on what I've read in the last 24 hours. But we'll see what they decide to do tomorrow, and if they can have some kind of a plan. The other thing I like, this actually makes sense. And this has been reported by Woj and many people, that once you get further along in the playoffs and you get to the conference finals, then you obviously are taking people out of the bubble and you're having all these teams eliminated. Then they would allow some family to come in. That I'm okay with. That makes sense. That I'm okay with, because you're taking – and again, if you do 35 people a team and there's 16 teams, you do that. What is that? That's 560, whatever it is. 560 people in the bubble. And then after a week or two, you can cut that in half once you get through a couple of rounds of the playoffs. Then you want to bring some close family in if you make a deep playoff run. That makes sense to me. But some of these other comments by Michelle Roberts, oh, it feels like incarceration. What are we doing here? It's like, this is how it's going to have to be. Pay attention. And you don't have these guys just go out for a lollygagging and going for a walk like you saw the guy, the manager in Bundesliga, where he went to the store for toothpaste. Next thing you know, he's got COVID. He's got the virus. And then guy who went shopping in the Premier League. I mean, be smart about this.
Let me run this by you, too. Sam Amick covers the NBA for The Athletic. He tweeted this out last night. As Mark Stein noted, it appears there is some concern about accommodations for all 30 teams at Walt Disney World. Okay. Amick tweeted, I've heard some grumblings from agents about the potential for huge disparity in hotel quality. Wait a second. Orlando, I think, has the second most hotel rooms in the country behind Las Vegas. Yeah. And it's all, a lot of them are going to be, I've never been to, no, I actually, I take that back. I have been, but it's been so long ago, I don't even remember it. But Walt Disney World, in that area, you're telling me they don't have enough decent hotels to accommodate what would be a certain number of NBA teams?
Too bad. Assign it the win percentage. Okay. Well, you're under 500. You get the bad hotel. Fine.
Yep.
The Bucks were the one. The Lakers were the two. They get the better accommodations. Do a better job. Fine.
You're staying in a crack house.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you think MLB's got problems. Imagine if that gets out. The Blazers aren't happy. They don't like their accommodations. Are you going to turn off everybody if that gets out?
They only have a four-star hotel. They're not happy. They're not going to play.
Tone deaf. My God, these guys. Incredible.
Again, that's why if you wanted to use Las Vegas as a hub, right around within 3 seconds of walking distance, you have New York, Aria, Park MGM, City Center. Across the streets, MGM. That's five right there. No problem. Yeah. Big enough for thousands of people.
Yeah.
It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Paulie runs down Win Some, Lose Some. Email is always open. It's ftm@vsin.com to get in touch with the show. FTM for Follow the Money at vsin.com. Here we go. Time now for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, we'll get to the incredible gesture by Derek Stevens coming up in a second. We start with Bundesliga yesterday and some soccer. We had a bad beat, Berlin and Mainz over 2.5. 1-1 in the 33rd minute, and then Berlin got a red card. Playing a man down for more than half the match. But a 1-1 final and a 4-0 for Bruce Marshall. So he had the under. So that was interesting that you couldn't get a goal in all that time, and Berlin's a man down, but they get out of there. We had some draws, though, a couple draws in those. Berlin Mainz draw plus 250. Leipzig Hertha draw plus 450. Leipzig was, I think, a $3 favorite. And then the Augsburg draw plus 275. So three of the five matches ended in a draw yesterday with Bundesliga. Now, is this real, Win Some? Divorce selfie? This guy. Look at the guy's face. There's the baby. Look at the wife, the ex-wife's face. Is that real? Look at that.
I hope so.
Oh, my God. At divorce selfie on Twitter. As he takes the selfie. And the wife doesn't know what to make of it. And you see the lady handling the paperwork as well. And we had another one. Well, don't live your life, buddy.
So, he, here's the deal. He's going to, at this point, he's going to say, hey, turn around. I'm going to take a selfie. And the wife's going to be like, wait a second. I hate your guts. We're filing for divorce. I don't want to look at the camera. And he's all happy. He has, this person has two tweets. That's it. They created this Twitter handle called @divorceselfie, following zero, now 17,000 followers. That's it. And that was his very first tweet.
That's hilarious. All right. Good for him. Good for him, baby. Derek Stevens. This is from David Purdom. How good is this? The big announcement we got off the air, he bought 1,000 flights, and you don't have to stay at the D. The 1,000 flights were booked within 2 hours. Keep America flying. Keep Las Vegas rolling. Great job by Derek. Here's the video. Here's Derek's first video yesterday at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Owner of the D Las Vegas, Golden Gate Hotel and Casino, and Circus Sports. I want to welcome you back to Las Vegas. And in doing so, we're buying 1,000 flights from various cities around the country on a number of airlines. It's on us. Obviously, my team and I, we'd like you to stay at one of our hotels. But if you don't, that's all right too. Because Las Vegas needs you. Our community needs you. We're just trying to do our share. Keep America flying. Keep Las Vegas rolling. Go to thed.com for more details.
And he did it again at 3 o'clock Pacific. Did another round of 1,000 flights. And that took 90 minutes as well. What a gesture.
Yep. So, phase one, talking to Mike Palm yesterday, it was about an hour 45 minutes. Then phase two last night, 90 minutes. And for him to actually say that in the video, like, I'd like for you to stay at one of our hotels. If not, okay, stay wherever you want.
Yes. How about that? You don't have to stay at our hotel. Yep. Lose some. Number one, I don't know. What is this? In Phoenix, three boys allowed a black widow to bite them in hopes of turning into Spider-Man. They wanted to gain superpowers like Spider-Man. The three younger brothers poked a black widow with a stick until it bit them.
I know. Did it work? Paul, I'm telling you.
Sense. Yeah.
It takes a lot to surprise me anymore. I'm not surprised kids actually did that.
Okay. And the kid's fine, but lose some. Everyone's getting down. The kid's getting down in the stance, right? The dog's waiting. Okay. High five to the dad. Here we go. We're getting down. Watch. That is a textbook tackle. Lace the kid
out.
Yes, it is. Oh, man. The dad, you got cute, dad. You didn't expect that. You thought the dog was coming after you. The dog goes right after the kid. Oh, man. Gives him the shoulder, and the kid goes flying. He's okay, though. That's win-lose is always in an eclectic mix. Very good.
The dog is smart. He knows. He can tell the size difference here. That's like the kid is like a small running back, and that dog is Cam Chancellor for the Seahawks. Get out of my way. You have no chance.
Oh, man. He nailed him there. Oh, look at that shot. Oh, the slow motion. Boom.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Will continue. This was in Point Spread Weekly. It came out yesterday. Brady Cannon, his awesome list of top 10 gambling movies of all time. There's one clear omission. We'll discuss it coming up. What does dad really want for Father's Day? How about some steak? And for a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks, plus other premium meats, side dishes, and desserts, all ideal for dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to the door, all backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, put in the code VSIN into the search bar. Many packages include free shipping and a free one-pound package of their cured, thick, applewood smoked steak-cut bacon. Oh, man, does that sound good?
Oh.
Visit omahasteaks.com and put in the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, in the search bar to shop for Father's Day. Paul, so in this week's Point Spread Weekly, Brady Cannon gave his top 10 gambling list. We'll run down his coming up in about 10 minutes, but we'll tell you this. He somehow failed to put Casino in his top 10. Is there any justification that you can think of off the top of your head?
It's embarrassing. We both have a top three. It's a phenomenal movie. It was on last week. I watched it again. It's also a movie that no matter where you are, if you're flipping and you see that it's on, you're going to sit down and say, okay, I'm watching this. You know, it's the cast is unbelievable. Scorsese. We have a great clip from a guy who was in the hole in the wall gang with Spilatro that will play coming up as well. Frank Colata. It's a disgrace. His list is so bad. It got me so upset that I put my list together. And I know, and you put your list together as well. We want to hear from everyone. FTM at VSiN.com, at Mitch Moss Radio on Twitter, at Paulie Howard with a Y, at VSiN Live, or FTM at VSiN.com. We asked Richard Roper, I think a year ago or 2 years ago, about his list, but we never did a list.
That's right.
But considering what we do for a living, and we love movies, it's great to put this list together for our top 10 gambling movies. And, you know, some of these are debatable with the list and in terms of also what is – it's hard to say what's a gambling movie. Let's start with this for instance, Mitch. Is Ocean's 11 a gambling movie? Can you put it – I think that qualifies. I mean, most of the movies – yeah, most of the movie is set in a casino. They rob a casino. Unbelievable cast. It's on the list, too, because I'm in it, too. I'm in the damn thing. But that's – sure, absolutely. To me, that counts. And a guy, he does media for the World Series of Poker, Nolan Dalla. There I am. Nolan Dalla has this in his list, and he has a top 25 list. When in doubt, go to Nolan Dalla. And if he has it in his list, it counts. So I'm going to go with The Gambler at number 10. And listen, I think the remake is just as good as the one with Jimmy Caan. And Mark Wahlberg is terrific in the remake. And there's an epic scene at the end with John Goodman. But that's a good movie. I think a little bit, the one with Jimmy Caan's a little bit overrated. I don't think it's a slam dunk to say the one with Jimmy Caan is better than the remake. But I have The Gambler checking in at number 10. I got a 9A and 9B. Owning Mahoney, I think it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's terrific. It's an incredible story. I mean, the guy in Toronto, he's a banker making $30,000 a year, and somehow he's playing blackjack for millions in Atlantic City, and they never did a background check on the guy. Lunacy. I love the story with the guy. The guy's playing. He's got like millions of chips on the table, and he wants his pork ribs or his barbecue with the Coke.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he wants. Piece of cake. Ocean's 11 also checking in at number 9 as well. A fantastic movie. Number 8, and Houston Curtis will be on the show coming up. The book blows away Molly's Games book and the movie. But it's a good movie, though. I know Houston Curtis said it's not accurate, but in what Molly Bloom taking some liberties with the story, Chastain's good.
Idris Elba's good.
Yes, it's a good movie. Molly's Game is a good movie, and there's some good poker scenes in it as well. I found it entertaining, and it checks in at number 8. All right. Number 7, The Sting. Probably too low. Terrific movie. An all-time classic. I probably have that too low. The Color of Money. Fast Eddie again. Number 6, the remake to The Hustler. Paul Newman's fantastic. So is Tom Cruise. I'm counting this as well. There's a big poker scene in this movie. There's a lot of they're betting on soccer in the movie. Nolan Dalla counts it. I'm going to count it. A great Guy Ritchie movie, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels at number 5. Then I watched this yesterday. Steve McQueen is great. I love the ending of the movie, The Cincinnati Kid, at number 4. Fast Eddie again, number 3. The Hustler, which is with Jackie Gleason and Paul Newman in 1961. The budget was $2 million. But The Hustler is fantastic as well. I have that at number 3. And to me, this is easy. This is standard. Number 2, Rounders, and number 1, Casino. Top gambling movies. Rounders is so good. Son of a Gun made a move on Chan. Norton's fantastic. Damon's fantastic. And Casino, I can't get enough of Casino. That's one of my – I like Casino more than Goodfellas. I'm on the record with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we've had this discussion before. What's the better movie? Yeah. I lean Goodfellas. And you're full blown Casino. I think though. I mean, do you have Casino like as a top 5 movie overall?
It's close. It's up there.
Close? Okay.
It's close. I know there are parts where it's just like, okay, with the Sharon Stone. I mean, she's a lot to take in this movie. And you wonder at what point is Lefty Rosenthal, Ace by De Niro, who played Lefty Rosenthal, at what point is he going to leave her? He found out he's cheating on her. Okay, now that'll do it. But I mean, it's like she threatened to kill you, Sam. You get divorced and end it. I mean, come on. But Rickles is great. There's so many memorable scenes. You can Anthony, I got your head in a vice.
Yes, the vice part.
The blackjack scene, beating up Rickles. I mean, faking the airline malfunction to get the whale back and lose his money playing Baccarat, whatever it was. I mean, and also what we know the history too. And I was just in that community where the real Lefty Rosenthal lived, and his house was available a couple of years ago. I drove right by his house, and a guy we know who lives in that community, the owner of the property and all the real estate there, the development, there's a real plane on where the feds landed the plane on the golf course. There's an actual plane where the feds actually landed because they ran out of gas, and they had that's a true story. The plane's on the golf course.
Yeah. And his home was up for sale not that long ago.
Yep. We missed that one. That'll never go down.
And by the way, it was not outrageous. The price they were asking for, it was not like, it was less than $1 million. It was, I think, in the, $500,000-$600,000 range, maybe?
You're right.
Wasn't insane. Yeah, you would think something like that's going to be, $1.5-$2 million? No, wasn't.
They didn't touch anything either. I mean, they kept it as it was, which is a good move.
Okay, so coming up next, I'll give you my top 10. We're going to play you a clip from Frank Collada, who was actually in Casino. This is incredible, right? To hear this description of how he actually got in the movie will blow your mind. And I do have a question about this specific movie, because if this is considered a gambling movie, it shoots into my top 10. But I don't think it's a gambling movie. That's coming up next.
Now more than ever, we're all thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands and sneezing into our arm, but we're still taking a huge carrier virus with us everywhere. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely clean them. It's time to take cleaning your phone seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safe for your device. The Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean. Dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You could be sanitizing other items while charging your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com today and get one for just $89 in free shipping. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com. Mm-hmm. FTM at VSiN.com for your favorite gambling movies, top five, top 10. Casey says, Let It Ride. I liked it, but it's not on my list. That didn't make my list. The Stu Unger story, High Roller, with Michael Imperioli as Stu Unger, was good, but didn't make the list. Croupier is on a lot of people's list, but I've never seen it, with Clive Owen. I hear that's good. I haven't seen it. And I liked the Cooler's good, but it's hard. I mean, I can only go with 10 spots. So the Cooler was good with, what's his name? William Macy and Baldwin.
Yes.
But not in my top. Yep.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions first before I run down my top 10.
All right.
I was reading on IMDb.com last night. They have a list of, I think, top 100 gambling movies of all time.
Ooh.
Now, no way, shape, or form can you ever convince me that The Hangover is a gambling movie, but they have The Hangover included. No, there's no. Alan plays blackjack for a little while. He's got the Beautiful Mind thing going on. He wins a bunch of money, whatever. It's not a gambling movie. The same list also included Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas as a gambling movie. I mean, who are we kidding? That's not a gambling movie. Okay.
No.
They're so hopped. It's all about drugs and hallucinations and everything like that. Okay. But this one, and I saw this on Twitter last night, and it might make some sense. I don't think it qualifies as a gambling movie, Paulie. But if it does, it's in my top 10. What do you think of Silver Linings Playbook?
Not bad. I mean, the dad's a bookie.
Yeah.
At the end, there's a parlay. The whole thing's about hitting the parlay.
The he loves the Eagles. With the green cloth, you know, come on, sit next to me.
We got to be, walks up to him. He's all emotional. We got a big, I need you here. We got to play the Giants.
Right.
Get the Giants coming to town.
Yeah. You got to show him. Come on.
Yeah. I could see it. Yeah. He's a bookie. Yeah. Absolutely. Kelly will allow it. Yeah.
if that's allowed, that movie is so good, I would have it in my top 10. I don't know if it's enough about gambling. Anyways, I grew up watching a lot of gambling movies when I was younger. I'll throw a couple of examples at you. The Sting, Cincinnati Kid, The Hustler, and California Split, which I watched again last night. But I don't remember those movies enough to have in my top 10. Like, I watched The Hustler so long ago that I can't remember, probably as like a 10-year-old when I watch it with, you know, my family. Does that, would that actually make my top 10 today? I don't know. So I'd have to go back and watch that. So this is not really a true top 10 list in my opinion. And I'm going to give you that caveat up front. Now, I did watch The California Split last night again, like I said. And, like, Elliot Gould is really, really good. Okay.
Yep.
But it a lot of this depends on, too, like, that movie was in the mid-70s, I believe, when it was made. How old were you when you first watched that movie? Like, I know this Alan Boston, right? Professional gambler, loves college basketball. You know the deal with him. He loves it. Thinks it's the best gambling movie of all time, California Split. Well, he was also, he probably watched it when it came out when he was like 15 or 18 years old, whatever he may have been. So that was impressionable on him back then. And now that's always carried over for his, for his full life. To me, watching it again last night, I'm like, nah, sorry. It's not that great. No. It doesn't belong in my top 10. And
good movie. Good movie, but it doesn't make the list.
It's good, but it doesn't make my list. The 10 others that do actually make my list. I have The Cooler number 10. I thought it was very well done. Baldwin's, you know, he's awesome. And I give William H. Macy a pass on anything because I think the guy's so good. I'm with you on Molly's game. I know that people are going to hate this because they're going to say it was completely unrealistic and Molly, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Folks, these are Hollywood. You need the biggest thing that you need to do, suspend your level of disbelief. And Molly's game was a terrific watch for 2 hours, and Chastain was great. I have Ocean's 11 checking in at number 11. And by the way, a lot of my list, I think, are very rewatchable. One would be Ocean's 11. I've probably seen it 10 times. I did put Let It Ride in because I like Dreyfus, and that's a fun movie to watch for 90 minutes whatever it is. It's very good. Another one that fits that mold, and this is Mel Gibson back during his prime, and he's not the only guy that's great. James Gardner's really good. I'm blanking on the female lead, and I can't believe I'm doing that. She was in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster's in it. That is a very rewatchable, funny, upbeat movie. I think it's very good. I agree on Color of Money. Here is my wild card into the entry, and I think a movie that will be on nobody else's list. But Bad Lieutenant, it has to be the NC-17 version with Harvey Keitel, and he's not only he's a total degenerate. I mean, as it says right here on the screen that you can see, he's a gambler, he's a thief, he's a killer, he's a cop. But when he has the bet on that Mets Dodgers series and he's driving around New York and it doesn't go his way on a huge bet and he pulls out his gun and he shoots the radio when he's driving around and puts a siren on top, the first 45 minutes of Bad Lieutenant NC-17, my jaw was on the floor. I could not believe what I was watching.
And Chris Mad Dog Russo is in the movie. And we asked him about it, and he didn't know what he was signed up for. I mean, that movie is filthy. That movie's filthy. So I think they're in the movie, they're down 3-0 in the series, and Russo kept saying, you got to win 4, not 3. So they got to win 4. I don't want to hear about it. You're only up 3-0. You got to win 4. And he's Keitel's driving around in the car. You got Russo on the radio. And he's like, I mean, then the movie comes out. Russo's like, what the hell is this? They put me in a movie. My God, I'm ashamed.
I know. Well, it's incredible. What a watch that is. I do have Oney Mahoney all the way up at number 3. And I just, that whole story, outstanding. To think about, he didn't really make that much money at all. Like you said, Paulie, earlier, like $30,000, maybe a little bit less. And when his girlfriend wanted to do something like maybe go to a dinner, we don't have that much money. And then the car that he drove around in and then would always park in the parking garage at the airport. Oh, my God. But the whole Ponzi scheme that he had going was fantastic. I've heard the book is actually better, the book based on that movie. I flipped my 1 and 2. I have Casino number 2 and I have Rounders number 1. And again, I was probably like 22 years old when it came out. I really like Matt Damon. I love Edward Norton. Again, I'm going to use this word again. It's rewatchable. And how many lines do we still use today, like 22, 23 years after the fact? I mean, in the poker game of life, women are the rake, right? Alligator blood, wheel. I mean, it's just everything about that movie for 2 hours again. That to me, when that movie comes on, like you with Casino, no matter what, I'm watching the rest of it.
And this guy's right on Twitter. The effect of live poker's rise to prominence after Rounders deserves to be that high. The guy says, Rounders, money maker, World Series of Poker interest, world participation. Yeah, I agree. Willie's Winner says two for the money. Come on. Great cast, but not a good movie. Couple good scenes, but not a good movie. Joe Villanueva's right, too. I thought you was laying it. I'm a little confused. Oh, you get a little confused about it. You put your head through that wall. I mean, that's another great scene in Casino. Guy said he got to meet Tom Cruise during Color of Money filming. Incredible. And do you consider Flamingo Kid a gambling movie? I haven't seen it. I apologize. I haven't seen that one. I've heard Pool Hall Junkies is good from some people.
Me too.
Other people, not so much. That I haven't seen it. I'm dying to see Croupier, but that's on everyone's list. I haven't seen it. This is on Brady's list. The Big Hand for the Little Lady in 1966. That's in his top five. I haven't seen it. But good list, though. You did a pretty good job. It's tough.
Yeah. That's another one, by the way. Flamingo Kid. So long
good
since
point.
I've watched Flamingo Kid. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Good point you made, though, too. We like to, back in my day, it was so good, right? We do this with sports and the NBA. And you go back and watch some of these movies in the 70s and 80s. They don't hold up, especially action movies as well. I mean, it's just things are better now. All right. I know there's some classics, but you don't remember it when you watch it now as opposed to when you were younger. You're right.
And this is terrific. So this is, again, on Casino. This is Frank Colada. He does something on YouTube called Coffee with Colada, and he brings in Nicholas Pileggi, and they're talking about, so he actually was, you know, committed this real-life murder, and there's a scene that they're about to do in Casino. And Frank is there, and he's like, no, that's not how it went down. And this is how he actually became, like, one of the dudes that was in the movie.
And Frank is looking at it, and he's grinning, and he's sort of shaking his head. I said, what's the matter? And Frank said, that's not the way it worked. That's not the way it happened. It would never happen. Say, how do you know? Frank says, well, I did that murder. I said, what? He says, yeah, no, that's listening. That's the one I did, and that's the one of them I got immunity for. So here I am standing there with the guy who did the hit as the technical advisor on a hit in the movie. So I said, Marty, get over here. We got to talk. So Marty comes over, and I says, Colada did this hit. He said, we're doing it all wrong. He said, you did it? I'm like, yeah. Because it's in the, you know, it's in all the court papers. He was accused of it. He just got immunity because he helped with the government. Got immunity on this homicide. And so Marty said, show us what happened. So Frank starts to do the hit. And Marty said, that's perfect. You do it. So we fire the actor. And Frank Colada winds up in the movie, in Casino, doing the hit that he did in real life as an actor. And I don't think that's ever happened.
I'm going to guess that's the only time in the history of movie making that that's took. Yeah, right?
That's great.
That's incredible. I'll give you another example, Paulie.
Yeah, he kills Alan King. Yeah, Alan King's character in the movie. I think he's in another scene, too, Colada. Yeah.
Yeah. Here would be one more example. When I was probably 20 and American Pie came out, I thought it was brilliant and I loved it. I watched it again during the pandemic a few weeks ago. I turned it off 45 minutes in, never laughed one time.
Oh, boy.
It's how old you are, where you're at in your life sometimes when you watch these movies. I mean, that's the way it works. Up next, what's the best plan of attack for the NBA? The coach, David Thorpe, will join us. We'll kick it around with him coming up next.